I think it's always exciting, isn't it, when some of what God's been putting on your heart in preparing for something like this, actually he's bringing out in the worship, in prayers, in some of the scriptures. I'll try not to move about too much. Hopefully as I move around then you won't get a whoosh. I have to say, a bit like Mick was saying a few weeks ago, you know, we kind of volunteer the week that we think we're available, that we think will fit in time-wise with everything else. And then they go and send an email through, thank you, Eric, where the guys have organised what comes. And so it's my pleasure to have Colossians 2. And then I got given the title, Jesus is Lord of Wisdom. And I have to confess, if I was given this part of the chapter a title, I'm not sure that I would have chosen that. That was my initial gut. And I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? But actually, he is Lord of Wisdom, and that comes out in what we're going to look at. If you haven't been with us, get with us each week. We've been looking through Colossians, so just a little reminder. You know, they were a church way back when, and they had some false teachers. Well, they had some teachers who were delivering stuff that was false. And what these guys were saying actually was putting a barrier between God's people and God, in a nutshell. And I don't think that's ever a good thing. And for me, one of my challenges in preparing this has been, what barriers do I put in? Or what barriers do I let others put in, or society put in, between me and my God? And Colossians 2, this part, starts with a therefore. And so for me, when I'm reading something that starts with a therefore, it's telling me, on the back of everything that you've just been reading about, this is now true. And so some of the therefores that we've had over the last 3 weeks are truths like this. God, he is the image of God. All things were created by him. Christ is before all things. He's the head of the body, the church. He is supreme in everything and has absolute power over all created things. We live in the kingdom of the Son, that we have been resurrected with Christ, that our sins have been forgiven. They're the truths that we've already read about, that people have talked about. And we need to know them and have God's perspective on them, just like Richard was talking about last week, having God's perspective, because then we can apply them in our life. So we've just been told, Bob ended at verse 15, that Christ can overcome anything. Now, we live in a society today that tells us that, oh, because of where we've come from, our hereditary background, or because of the environment that we've grown up in, we will be like X, Y, or Z, and that there is no chance ever of seeing that change. That in the grip of such powers, we'll never be free. Well, that's not true. And verse 15 kind of ends with a reminder about the cross, and that on the cross, Jesus disarmed all those powers and those influence that were opposed to God's purpose. And so on that truth, we're now going to look at Colossians 2, 16-23. Are you still with me? Yeah, okay. Phew, because I wasn't when I was having a look. I've actually used the Message transcription because I thought, God, I can get into this much more. So you can have a look at your New English Version or your NIV when you're at home. But Colossians 2. So don't put up with anyone pressuring you in details of diet or worship services or holy days. All those things are mere shadows cast before what was to come. The substance is Christ. Don't tolerate people who try to run your life, ordering you to bow and scrape, insisting that you join their obsessions with angels and that you seek out visions. They're a lot of hot air. That's all they are. They're completely out of touch with the source of life, Christ, who puts us together in one piece, whose very breath and blood flow through us. He is the head and we are the body. We can grow up healthy in God only as he nourishes us. So then, if with Christ you've put all that pretentious and infantile religion behind you, why do you let yourself be bullied by it? Don't touch this, don't taste that, don't go near this. Do you think that things like that are here today, that are gone here today and gone tomorrow, are worth that kind of attention? Such things sound impressive if said in a deep enough voice. They even give the illusion of being pious and humble. An aesthetic, took me a while to be able to say that word, but they're just another way of showing off, making yourselves look important. And when I read that, I just thought, oh God. And it was like an, oh God, do I do this? Yeah, I do at times. I do this. Oh God, I'm so sorry. And it has been an adventure, I can tell you. Jesus is the Lord of wisdom. We've been looking at Jesus is Lord. And actually, we can pick out some words from these scriptures. So I did a little Christ's freedom. His wisdom applies when I'm looking at things from a legalistic point of view. Mysticism, asceticism, and what about wisdom? So we're going to break it down. We're going to have a little look at those and hopefully apply Christ's wisdom to it, because we've got to remember we are free. Okay, and that's the basis that we are coming from. In Christ, I am a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So therefore, I am free, and I will be free in all of these things, whether I feel it or not. So legalism. Okay, don't submit to people's ideas about food laws and religions, festivals. They're all the physical, they're the external things that we see very easily. Okay, and way back then, Jewish people had a lot of festivals. The kind of pie charty thing couldn't get it big enough. But there's loads of their festivals on there. So they had Passover to celebrate the Exodus out of Egypt. They had Pentecost to celebrate the giving of the law. They had celebrations for trumpets, tabernacles, all sorts. But in all those celebrations and those festivals, they were doing them because they believed that they would lead them to some eternal truth. So that's good things, but actually we don't have to do that anymore because Christ has come. I wonder what our equivalent might be. You know, give you some time to think on that a little later. But what could we slip in there? What things, what physical, eternal practices, external even, practices, do we kind of portray? Because of Christ we're free. If there's anything less than that, then we're still under the power of the evil one. But either I'm in Christ or I'm not. I can't sit on the fence because I can't have half and half. No, so if I believe in him and if he's in me, because he says he is, if I believe in him, then actually I am free. So therefore, there's no powers that can sway me. Isaiah 29 says, the Lord says, people come near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. And when I read that, actually, initially I was in tears because I thought, God, I do this sometimes. I make up my own rules, or I think that somebody else has set up a rule that I think it would be good to follow. And I just found myself crying out, God, don't let my mouth and my actions be saying one thing, but my heart be far from you, because that's just an awful position to be in. You know, we've heard the phrase before, haven't we? Are we talking the talk or are we walking the walk? You know, and I want to be someone who's walking out imperfectly, because I am a human. I fail every day. But it's great that I have a God who loves me anyway and who picks me up, brushes me down and says, come on, Lise, let's carry on. So legalism, do I have to be bound by rules and traditions? No, I don't. Mysticism. But at that time, there was a lot of false humility in the Colossian church. I mean, they were young, we've got to forgive them, because actually they hadn't that long, some of them, come out of Judaism or paganism. And they're seeing all these things going on around them, and they've got these false teachers saying, hey, come with me, this will do you good if we act like this or eat this or don't drink that. And actually they thought, well, yeah, okay. And it was easy to be distracted and slip back into those thinking habits. And some of those people thought that God was absolute, that he was so far above man that he could only be worshipped by the angels that he'd created. And so it became this thing that here's man, but I've got to look for these angels or these spiritual beings so that I can have access to God. No, You know, if what Christ says is true, then actually it's through Christ that I get access to God and nobody and nothing else. You know, and that got me to thinking, you know, sometimes people think they've got to go to a priest and get forgiveness from the priest. And, well, how many Hail Marys can I say to get right? And actually, no. I just need to come to the foot of the cross and be reminded Christ did this for me. And so Paul's encouraging the Colossians, you know, don't delight in mock humility and the worship of angelic beings. We're not going to get excluded from the race. We're not going to lose the fight if we're not following all the perceived rules. The only kind of rule, if you like, that we have is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul and our strength, and then to love others as him. That's it. So in a way, that's pretty easy, but actually it's not, is it? Because we're human. Love it. Some theologians suggest that back then, those false teachers thought that Christ was no more than a beginning. That to get spiritual maturity and to be able to move on, you had to follow those rules and practices. And the brilliant thing is, no, you don't. You know, those practices were based on the Old Testament. And Hebrews refers to them as shadows. You know, they cast shadows. They were hinting at the hope. I mean, we already heard some of it earlier on. You know, Christ is the Messiah. Well, actually, we live in New Testament times. So we can look back to the cross and think, yep, you know, Christ has come. He's paid the penalty for my sin. He died and he rose again. So that gives me hope. And that gives me freedom from those rules and those regs. It gives me freedom from having to think I've got to worship angelic beings. Don't get me wrong. Angels, if ever they're involved, that's brutal. But actually we're told not to go and worship them. And that's Christ's wisdom. The other thing that they got a bit sidetracked with, if you like, is that losing connection with Christ. That was one of their central errors, that they took on all these other false teachings and they forgot, well, actually, here's Jesus. You know, here's what we're told about him. Here's what to believe in, to hope for. So for us, we're encouraged to stay connected with the head. You know, it's Christ who supports us. It's Christ who nourishes us. And when we're under Christ, God automatically gives us growth. Now, a picture of the tree. You've got two trees side by side. I've not superimposed them one on the other. They are both in the same environment. They have the same soil, the same nutrients, the same air, the same sun. But something has happened to one that has disconnected it from those nutrients and from that environment. So you have one tree perfectly flourishing and the other that's dead. So that's our encouragement. Stay connected. Don't give in. I don't know if like me, but sometimes I think, oh God, I haven't done that today. I haven't read my Bible. I haven't prayed. I haven't been to visit someone. Or it's been weeks or months since I've invited someone round for coffee. I've not been practicing hospitality. No. And actually, in that thinking, what am I doing? I'm taking myself out of my freedom in Christ. And I'm thinking, hello, legalism. I'm just going to come and party with you for a little while. And actually, no. And I'm very good at beating myself up and thinking, failed that. But no, Christ says, come back to me. Because actually, in me is your freedom. So it's an encouragement. Stay in daily connection with Christ. Asceticism. I'll say it again, asceticism. I had to think, how do you say this darn word? No, what does it mean? That if I deny all worldly pleasures, I have great strength in self-denial, that suddenly somehow my soul is released from the bondage to this feeble body and I can go and have divine party times with some spiritual element. No. You know, my soul is stuck in this feeble body until the day I die and I get a glorious new one. Can't wait. No, but for now, I will have to be patient. No, you know, we've seen some of the films sometimes, haven't we? And you hear of some of the monks who in olden times would be beating themselves because they thought that penance would get them right before. No, we don't have to do that. We're free. Why? Because Christ is supreme. He's the image of God. He brought creation about, God did, and he holds it all together. So it's the greatness of God and his Christ-saving work. So it's nonsense that other powers have to be involved in any way. And verse 20 tells us, you know, we die with Christ. So that's to any of the basic principalities or powers of this world, whether it's false or worldly or religious teachings. I don't need some secret knowledge. Loved it. A few years back, Richard talked about a secret handshake. And I thought, yeah, you know, I don't need some secret handshake or password to become part of the family. I don't need man-made or self-made regulations. Such rules, they enslave us, don't they? And they actually make us then fearful of sinning. If we've got these rules, I know somebody who was wanting to read the Bible in a year. That's great, there's nothing wrong with that. But it became a rule. And then what happened was when they got distracted or they got ill and they were, you know, they then hadn't read for a day or a few days. They were like, oh, woe is me, I haven't done that. And you think, well, but hang on a minute. It's okay. God is not going to strike you down dead if you have not done what you said you would do. Because he knows us, he knows our hearts. Actually, just get back on the wagon and carry on. Don't think, well, I've screwed it up now, so I might as well quit and wait till January the 1st next year. No, we can start again. So much more important than, you know, what the false teachings were or what some of the rules and regulations were is that wonder of the love of God that he has for us in Christ. You know, and the magnificence of that salvation that he brought about for us. I didn't think one day, is there a God? Some people do, but I didn't. I was quite happy, thank you very much, in my own little world, getting on with my own little life. But one day, God went, and what he did was he placed me in an environment where there were loads of other Christians around. I didn't know it at the time, until I walked in one day and they were doing missions, because it was at college and they were in the Christian Union. I'm thinking, oh my life, I've got to know a bunch of Christians. But that kind of blew my mind, because they weren't the wimpy people that I thought Christians were, that obviously needed a prop in life. They actually weren't. They were full of life. And they weren't wanting to go off and get drunk and cop off with somebody at the local club, which is why I went with them, because I like to dance. But through getting to know them, they then introduced me to Jesus. But that was God. That wasn't me. And then the Holy Spirit revealed to me each day my need for him and my position before him. So I thank God that actually my local school didn't do the courses that I wanted to do and that I had to travel there. So yeah, the magnificence of our salvation. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I forget it. You know, life comes, piles things on. But it is the greatness of Christ. And in verse 23, Paul's summarising all of that. He's looking back at what we've just looked at, and he's analysing it. Some people refer to it as the Colossian heresy. And his analysis is this: such practices were and are worthless. They poison our faith. They fail to control sinful desires. They're not from God. So really, why bother? Rules don't lead to salvation. The Colossians were basing everything on what was seen. You know, and it can be quite easy to come into a church, and we don't know where people have come from. And we come into a church and we think, oh, they pray like this, or like this, or like this. And, oh, they worship like this. And they stand up at certain times and they sit down at certain times and they use certain language. And it can be very easy to pick up on that body language, because then we're accepted, we're part of the family. Well, we're accepted whether we have those mannerisms or not. But Christ looks at the heart. And, you know, for some of us, we might get a little bit jiggy with it in the aisle. For others, they might like to be very expressive at the front or the back. People might use flags. People might be sat really quietly. And we don't know what's going on in the heart, but Christ does, and that's far more important. And I can remember when I was really ill, somebody saying, well, you're not at these meetings. So because I wasn't at those meetings, therefore you must be backsliding. I'm thinking, no, you have no idea what it takes to get up and just to get through my day, pain-wise, that by the time I finish work, I'm done in and I'm off to bed. No, so don't look at the outward and make assumptions or judgments. Look at what is the heart of that person. And are we growing? Are we changing? You know, outward actions have no underlying truth to them. And it's that truth that we want. And those actions don't actually help us understand God better. No, we need to be in that relationship with him. And Christianity isn't about a set of rules that we live by. That's what used to put me off years ago. Because the only Christians that I'd met were seemingly wimps with long hair, national health specs, played the guitar. No offence to guitar players, because you're all good. And they wore sandals with socks. I mean, who does that? No, so for me, that was my experience. But actually, God showed me a different way of living. And that it's that living in that love relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about. And that's God's grace for us, because we don't earn it, we don't deserve it. And if we're believers who say that we live in the Spirit, then we should be walking by the Spirit. Obedience to Christ, it's that love response to God's love being poured out on us. Because God loved me, I love others. I never used to. I never used to give people hugs. What's that all about? You know, because Christ has compassion on me, I now have compassion on others. That's not anything that's come internally, trust me. That is God. So it's God's love that motivates us, that changes us. I've had a lad that I've been working with at uni this year, and he's on the autism spectrum. And for him, people judge him from his outward mannerisms because he can't stand noise. His senses get overwhelmed. So he has on his iPhone things, but then has sound blocker out, Defender things over the top. He wears a bandana and a beanie hat and then one of those big beary things that flop down here, so it's blocking out some of his senses. And it's just been a delight working with him this year. And he's never had friends. He's got his mum and dad, and he's got his sister, but that's it. And he's never been out with anyone else. And so God put me in a situation where I've been getting alongside him and with lots of others. And I'm like, well, God, I have no wisdom here. What do I do? How do I do it? You know, and they're quite, a lot of the time, and my job is to bring them down. And so actually I need the Holy Spirit at work in me, because actually I want them to know the peace that he gives me. I want them to know the joy that he gives me. And actually for this student, I got given a card. I was shocked because he texted me, and he never does because he doesn't initiate. Are we meeting? And I said, of course we are. And when I got there, he had this little bag, and he was like, you're like, you've got ants in your pants. It's the end. All your exams are done. All your work's done. We're now looking at going home. So you shouldn't be that anxious because you know home. Naturally, he then was muttering about timing, appropriate timing. He said, what is appropriate timing? I'm thinking, oh, my life, Lord, give me wisdom, because I don't know what it is that he's talking about here. And actually, it was that he wanted to give a gift. And he'd gone and he'd chosen the gift for himself. Now, that might seem like everyday things to us, but it is not for him. He's had help from his mum, but he saw a bear, another soft toy, you know, and he'd picked it, and he'd written the card. And on the card, he's put, to Joy, Lisa, because his name for me is Joy. And he had somebody who worked with him at college, and I finally managed to get out of him. It took a while, trust me. She's Joy by name, but not by nature. I am Joy by nature and should be by name. And so therefore he calls me Joy. That is not me. I can be a grumpy old so-and-so. You know, but actually what I've been praying all through the year is, Lord, I want your wisdom. I want it to be your skills. I want it to be you, not me. And so actually help me with each one of these, because I'm exhausted by the end of the day. And so to see him, I just think, Lord, thank you. Because he doesn't know it, but actually what he's seeing is the joy of the Lord. No, but I pray that one day he will. So God's love motivates us, changes us. Be in that living relationship with Jesus. And so we get to wisdom, finally. Okay. Paul is reminding them and us of the glorious promises that we've been given. That gives me hope in which I can live. So do I want to be living a wise life? Do you? Yes, I do. Do I want a life of self-control? Do I want wisdom to know what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go? Yeah, I do. I can get all of that from Jesus. So this passage suggests if I stay connected with Christ every day, guess what? That wisdom's going to flow whether I want it to or not. That wisdom primarily comes from reading and obeying his word. And we've had prayers about that this morning. And the Bible encourages that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So go and get before him. Proverbs is really good for that. And Proverbs encourages us to accept wisdom and not reject it. Because when we do, and when we're living in Christ's wisdom, actually it brings us benefits. And I forget, because I'm not very good at living in Christ's wisdom every day. And I look at things sometimes and I think, no, I think my way is a better way. And he's like, Lisa, back you come. Okay. So God's wisdom is that he chooses the best goals for us and the best means to those goals to always bring about the best results. I'll say it again. Okay. That God chooses the best goals for us and the best means to those goals to always bring about the best results. But as Rich was reminding us last week, it's from God's perspective, not ours. And from my perspective, sometimes I can think, hello, that doesn't look wise. But actually, if I trust in God, that's my challenge. Whether in season or out, whether I feel like it or not, I need to trust him. Wisdom is exercised in the choices that we make. We're encouraged to say yes to God's yes and no to God's no. If we're not sure what they are, reading the Bible will introduce us to them. Now, in that, our emotions could be all over the show. But actually, as we think, God says this, he's asking me to do this, I'm feeling like this, but actually, I'm going to walk how he's asking me to walk. Guess what happens to my emotions? They soon get whipped into line and start following kind of after that decision, if that makes sense. Romans 8:28. You know, we know that in all things for those who love God, they all work together, don't they? So in all the things that come into our lives, the good, the bad and the ugly, God is working wisely in all those things. Why? Because his goal is to make us more into the image of Christ. And in Christ, we've looked at the truths of Christ. And we've looked at that I don't need to follow legalistic rules. That should give me great confidence and peace. That knowing in my day-to-day life, God causes things to move us towards that ultimate goal that he has. That we be like Christ and ultimately we bring him glory. So I might think sometimes it's about getting my house in order, about my job, my career, beating somebody, getting married, never having kids. It could be anything like that. But actually, no. The ultimate reason that I am here is to bring God glory in whatever way, shape or form that is. I can't think of a better reason for living, really. Are you discouraged? Are you finding it hard to see the purpose in your life? Well, guess what? Christ has an awesome one for you. It's just whether we accept it or not. If we're God's children, he's working wisely in our lives that we become like Christ. And just look at who Christ was and what he did, and we're told that we can do the same and more. And that where Jacqueline was reading about the Holy Spirit and there's been prayers this morning, I was like, oh God, thank you. Because you know, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do that. Christ raised the dead, he healed the sick, he fed thousands from a few mere baskets of bread and fish. I'd love to see that happening at our barbie. You know, that when we go, we've all taken our little and it becomes enough that we're all stuffed and that the Polish are fed and anyone else who we can get to come and meet with us while we're up there. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, in the newspaper the next day, Rugeley Community Church feeds everyone up at Marcus Drive. I mean, in a way, that should be happening, shouldn't it? In a way, and I think, God, you know, come on. So I don't have to read my horoscope to have an idea of what my day or my week is going to be like. I go to Christ. I don't have to set up rules. I go to Jesus. That's it. So I just thought it would be really good to just have some time where actually, you know, there's been a lot of words. But actually, when I was preparing it, I just knew that that the Holy Spirit was just wanting to get alongside and have a bit of a whisper. And there's a CD that I've been listening to over the last week. It's one of my friend's wives. And there's a song called One Day. So it doesn't really mar with getting out of legalism and everything. But actually, it's something I just want us to listen to with an open heart and an open mind that, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, are there any areas in which I'm bound up in legalism but I've not known that that's what it is? Are there other people and other sources that I've been going to seek info or guidance about the future, but actually I haven't been to Christ? You know, God doesn't want to give you a slap round the face. He's not a God like that. He's not a dad like that. He wants to come and whisper his best plans and purposes for your life. So we'll leave it to the technicians. So is Jesus Lord of wisdom? Yeah, he is. And I'm just praying that there will be something that he's popped into your head or into your heart. Okay. It could be brilliant. It could be that you don't know who Jesus is. And if you don't, my challenge is for you to find out about him, because he has the best plans and purposes for your life, and his love for you is absolute. There is nothing more that we can do. He doesn't love me any more or any less than the day that he died for me. Are there areas where you're bound up in legalism? Perhaps you've had somebody say, when you're part of this church, you must do this. Well, actually, if it's not from God, it's not from the elder, it could be something that you need to chuck out, get rid of. Or do you think that we have to act and speak in certain ways? Sometimes we can feel pressure, or we can give pressure to others without realising it. No, Jesus just wants to be central in your life, just wants to be central. It is a big thing, isn't it? Because we're very good at going off and doing our own thing. But he says that he's enough for you. And that's what I want. You know, he is enough for me, even when I think, actually, sometimes he's not. He is. And are there traditions or habits that distract you away from Jesus? No, there's opportunity now. We are going to have coffee, I think. Maybe, you know, with biscuit or not, who knows. But actually, there's opportunity for you to grab somebody and say, will you just pray for me? You know, as Richard was reminding us last week, we're all leaky vessels, you know, and we all need that indwelling and that infilling of the Holy Spirit all the time. And I don't know about you, but I'm aware when I run on empty, and I always want to be running on full. And I've not yet ever achieved that in my Christian life. So that's one of my, come on God, will you do please? You know, he gives us hope. We can trust in him. We don't have to be under that old way of thinking. He has wisdom for you. You've got to choose whether you're going to accept it and apply it or not. That's it.